Well, I enjoyed that. I may have to take y'all's pastor back to the DR with me. I love the trumpet. Tell you what. I'm waiting for the trumpet, right? Y'all waiting for that trumpet? I'm waiting for that trumpet. Thank you again for all the years y'all have helped us. It's such a blessing to us, and I probably couldn't say that enough. And so I just want to make sure that while I am here, you're hearing that constantly, because we are so appreciative of the church. Now tonight I want you to find two places in the Bible. I want you to find Acts chapter 16, and then I want you to find also Philippians chapter 1. Just hold those places, and now Pastor, I don't see a clock back there. Do y'all not have any time limits on? Where's it at? Oh, man, it's a good thing it wasn't a missile coming in. I'd been in trouble. I'd been blown up. That's a big clock right there. I can see that real good. Well, thank God, because last church I was in, they had a little weedy clock. But what time do y'all normally get done, preacher? You forgot to tell me.
You're okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Last time preacher told me that, I went on for 2 or 3 hours. So.
Within reason.
Amen. I'm just kidding. So I want to share with y'all tonight the heart of a missionary. Now, the heart of a missionary. When you think about a missionary, what name comes to your mind? Anybody?
Paul.
Wow, isn't that something? Paul just comes to my name. When I think about a great missionary, the person who comes to my mind is Paul. And I would like to just be able somehow in my life just to get a little bit close to where Paul was. Because Paul had such vision and commitment. And we heard yesterday, and we know that the theme of the conference is, what's that in your hand? And Moses had a staff. And God used that staff to help Moses go forth and do the great things that God had chosen him to do. It was the power of God. Listen, when he raised that staff, you better watch out. Something was fixing to happen. And Moses had an encounter with God. Boy, when he had that encounter with God, it changed everything about his life. And I think about Paul. Paul also had an encounter with God. Paul didn't see a burning bush. I think Paul was hit with a lightning bolt. I mean, God said, "I'm going to get his attention," and so Paul had an encounter with God. And so I want you to think about this tonight. Moses had in his hand a staff. I want you to think about, what did Paul have in his mind? What did Paul have in his mind? What did Paul have in his heart? Paul was a great missionary, did great things. Now, we know that Paul went on several missionary journeys. I'm just going to read a couple verses and we're going to pray. But I want to share one part of one of his missionary journeys so that we can just set the stage of what Paul had in his mind. And when I started studying this to get this ready for here, I got excited. And I like getting excited. I like getting excited. I like to laugh. I like to have a good time. So let's read a couple of verses and pray. Acts 16, we're just going to read two verses, verse 14 and 15. It says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide here. And she constrained us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and the power that lies within it. God, we thank you that you have given us this word to set our feet on a path, accomplish the task that you have set before us. God, let us use this power that we possess in a mighty way. Let us go forth in the power of your word as Paul did. And let us strive to accomplish the things that you've asked us to do. Let us fulfill your will each day of our lives. Empower us. Let us not be afraid. For you are with us, guiding us and directing us. In Jesus' name we ask, Lord. Amen. The heart of a missionary. Let's look at a place in the Bible where Paul is on his second missionary journey. He's not made it to Corinth yet. He's going to get there, but right now he's in Philippi. And as he goes into the city to plant a church. So remember, when Paul went to a city, he had a purpose. It was in his heart to establish a church. And I ask you tonight, what when you think about what you do in life, what is in your heart when it comes to the things of God? What's in your heart? Paul had in his heart to go forth and plant churches. So that's why I see him as the greatest missionary and the greatest heart toward missions. And so Paul is going into the city. And as he goes into the city, what is he looking for? He's looking for encounters. He's looking for opportunities. He's looking for the first ones that will be at the church in Philippi. And of course, as he goes into town, what is he doing? He's proclaiming the word of God. And as he goes into the town, what does he find? He finds Lydia, a businesswoman. A seller of purple. All the women are supposed to say amen right there. A businesswoman. That's what he encounters as soon as he gets into the city. He encounters Lydia, and she's a seller of purple. And she, it says there, that worshiped God. Lydia was much like Paul before Paul had his encounter with God. Because we know that Paul went out doing what he thought God wanted him to do, and that was to eradicate those that believed in Jesus Christ. So he believed he was worshiping God and serving God. And so he was much like Lydia. And the Bible says she worshiped God. And the Bible says that she heard us. Paul and Silas and whoever he had with him, they're all going into the city of Philippi for a purpose. Their purpose is to plant a church. And so as they go into the city, he runs into this lady named Lydia. And she heard, and she already knew of God. And she was already willing to worship God. And we see there that it says, and this is a very important thing, whose heart the Lord opened. You know, it's a very important thing. I mean, I go out, and I used to go out a long time ago, and I mean, I hand out many, many tracts. And I hand out all kinds of materials, and I would hand them out, and I would ask people to read them. But then it says here, God opens the heart. And I want to tell you something. If we want to impact an area, if we want to impact a city, if we want to take down a country for God, we're going to have to do some praying. We have to do some praying. We need to be asking God to open more hearts, to give us more opportunities. I believe that we know that Paul must have been praying a lot, because in just a little bit, we're going to see that he went out to prayer. And he prayed and he said, God, we're going into the city. We need to have people be saved. If we're going to accomplish what you've asked us to do, people need to have an open heart. And we need to start praying that God will not only open hearts here in the area of Stanley House, Stanley Heights Baptist Church, but that He would open hearts in all the different fields of the mission fields that we are involved in and that the church is involved in. God, open hearts. Help the missionary. Make it easier for them. Let them encounter people who are already ready to worship You and receive You, and open that heart to Your gospel, Lord. Empower us with Your words. And so she had an open heart because the Lord opened it. And look what it says there. Boy, when a person has an open heart, look what it says. And she attended unto the things were spoken of Paul. Oh, what a wonderful thing. When we are on the right path, in the right place, and God has opened the heart, the person will attend to what we give them for the Lord. And she got saved. The Bible says that, and she was baptized, so we know she got saved. Not only did she get saved, but she must have gone home and told her whole house about what Paul and them were doing. And it says there that the whole house, everybody she had, and she was a businesswoman, no doubt she had people working for her, and there were a lot of people there. And it says, and her household received the Lord. And she besought us, and she asked them, she said, hey, if you find me to be one in the Lord, stay here with us. And no doubt Paul said, no, we can't stay with you. We've got other places we can stay. And she constrained them. Isn't that something great? Man, Paul's starting a church. He finds a businesswoman. And all of a sudden, she gets saved. Her whole house gets saved. And now Paul is staying in the home of one of the wealthy people of the area. And she is attending to them. That's some good church planting, isn't it, brother? Amen. What a wonderful thing. And so here we see that Paul, he's got his first person for the church, for the Philippian church. He got his first one. Now look at verse 16. It says, and it came to pass, we went to prayer. They're going to ask God, hey, God, we need some more open hearts. We got a church to start here. We need more open hearts, Lord. Help us, give us more open hearts that will receive Your word. It says there that they went to prayer. And a certain damsel, now we find that he's going to encounter a second person. It says, and a damsel, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by smooth saying. Well, that's just simple. She was a fortune teller. She told them what to invest in and what to do, and they made money off of her. So we know she had masters, so she's a slave. And it says there that what she did was she went out behind them. She followed. The same followed Paul and us. And she cried saying, now listen to what she said. Now remember, she's a fortune teller. And the Bible says that she brought her masters much gain. So the people of the city and the area there knew her to be one person that if she said you could do this and make something, it came true. So they knew her to be a person who told the truth. Look what she says about Paul and Silas and their company. She says, these men are the servants of the Most High God. A true statement. That was a very true statement, what she said. She's helping them with the cause because she's telling everybody, hey, these are men of the Most High God. And look what else she tells everybody as she's following them. She says, which show unto us the way of salvation. So here we have a woman who's known to give forth good advice, proclaiming that Paul and his company are there and they are servants of God and that they can show you the way to salvation. Isn't that interesting? And then we find that she kept doing it. And Paul got tired. Now she's going around telling everybody that they're the men of God, and she's going around telling everybody they have the way of salvation. And they're out proclaiming the gospel, and they're telling people about Jesus, And she keeps following them, but now Paul is tired. The Bible says, and Paul was grieved and turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Now, wow, this is so good, because now Paul, who is preaching to this city, who is trying to establish a church, has turned to the one that was possessed with a spirit and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you come out of her. And he came out. And he left her. Wow, the popularity of the word of God that Paul is preaching, and the fact that it changed this woman's life also. And she is the second person that comes to know Jesus Christ, because Paul has a heart for missions. And he's not afraid of this woman that has a spirit, because he wields the power of God. And he commands that spirit to come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that her owners, her masters, boy, when they saw that all of a sudden this woman was changed, amen? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. She was new. She wasn't talking the way she was before. She was following Paul now. She's saved. And so they said, oh, this can't go on. This can't go on. These people are ruining our city. So what do? We won't read all of it. But they get Paul. They take him down to the judge. They present him to the judge. The judge gets angry. He says, let me rip their clothes. He rips their clothes off. And they received many stripes, the Bible says. So here's Paul. He's preaching, proclaiming the word. He's starting churches. And brother, just like you mentioned, sometimes it's not so easy. It'd been easy up to that point, but all of a sudden now he finds himself in a problem. And not only does he get hit, according to the Bible, with many stripes, it says in verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. And in verse 24, they had told the jailer that you better keep them safe. They better be here when we look for them again. And so the jailer thrust them, according to verse 24, in the innermost part of the prison. And he put them in stocks. He wanted to make sure they weren't going anywhere. Now, by now, Paul and Silas could have been thinking, maybe it wasn't such a good idea to go to Philippi. Because here we are. We brought two people to the Lord, but now we're in jail, and we could be here for a long time. You think that's the way Paul was thinking? I don't think Paul was thinking that way at all. I don't think Paul was thinking about the problems of what they were facing. I don't think Paul let the situation that had changed from him being free to walk and wander where he wanted to being now in jail, beaten and in stocks, to change his mind. What did he have in his mind? We need to ask ourselves, what do we have in our mind? What do we have in our hearts? What do we have? Is God fueling our walk every day? Is he the fire behind us getting up in the morning? Look how Paul received his situation. It's really unique. It says in Acts 16:25, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. You know, prayer seems to be a major part of Paul's life. If I read through the Bible, I see that Paul suffered many things, just like our brother was sharing with us. While life as a missionary, life as an individual, is not necessarily an easy thing, and difficulties will come against us as a norm in our life when we're serving God and we have what Paul had in his mind. Things won't be so easy sometimes. Things will be difficult at times. Suffering may be part of what we have to get through at times. But Paul and Silas, being in jail after being whipped and being in the stocks, they begin to pray. And the Bible says, and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. These men, after everything that they had gone through, they were not in any least, in any form whatsoever, were they derailed from what God had told them to do. They are praying and singing praises to God. And boy, when they begin to pray and they begin to sing, the heavens opened, and the power that they wheeled from heaven broke down the doors of the prison. And the stocks were loosened, and Paul and Silas were free. Now, Paul could have said, hey, let's get out of here. Let's go to Corinth. Let's forget Philippi. Man, God, let us out. Let's go. But that's not what Paul said. Paul stayed right there where he was at. And the jailer, we see later, he gets up and he realizes what's happened. And the Bible says he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. We are all here. Paul said, here's the third one. Here's my number three. He said, don't do any harm to yourself. We're all here. We're waiting for you. We're waiting to talk to you. And it says that the jailer came in and he was trembling. The jailer was trembling when he was given Paul and Silas to put them inside that prison in the deep parts and put them in stocks. But now the jailer comes and his whole attitude has changed. Why? Because of what was in the mind of Paul. He saw God through Paul. Paul was wielding the power and authority of the Word of God, just as Moses wielded the staff. And that jailer knew that Paul was one to be listened to and to be followed. Look what the jailer says. And they brought him out. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And the Bible says, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, wow, isn't this interesting? Paul goes into Philippi to start a church. God gives him Lydia and her whole family. Then he gives the damsel that was possessed by spirit, under the control and influence of the powers of Satan. And God just destroyed that. And now, here he has the Philippian jailer, which we all know about that story. And now he is saved in his whole house. And now Paul, I mean, I don't know how many people they had in their house, but if they're like the Dominicans, they have whole families living there. I mean, they got the husband and the wife and 10 children and their husbands and wives and the grandkids, and they all live together. So who knows how many people was in these houses? But it must have been a lot. That's the mind. That's the mind and heart of the missionary. Is to go to the place that God tells them to go, and to go with authority, knowing that God will establish the path that we take, and that we don't have to be fearful, and we don't have to worry. All we have to do is go there with the passion of accomplishing the task that God has put in our hands. I remember when we started New Life Baptist Church, we rented a facility. We spent $28,000 renovating. I rented a big tent. I mean, it was a big tent. That tent was probably the size of this auditorium. It was huge. And we went out every day, just like Paul, telling people about Jesus and telling them that we're going to start a brand new church over here, and we want you to come out and visit. And then we would tell them, you know, like, you know how when you go fishing, you got to have something on the lure? Well, the lure for our first day of New Life Baptist Church was that we were going to roast a pig. And when you tell a Dominican that you're going to roast a pig, they're coming, but I'm going to tell you, they're going to come. And so we went out, we went to all the neighborhoods, and this was a upper-class neighborhood. And we're ready for the day. We got the food, we got the tent up, we got the chairs out, we got the music playing, and it came time to start the service, and nobody got there yet. But, you know, in Dominican, they don't show up for 30 to 45 minutes after the time that's supposed to start anyway. So you can't get excited if they don't show up on time. Now, Pastor, I show up on time because I'm American. But if we were in the Dominican, I might come up a little bit late, okay? But we're not in the Dominican right now. And they came and they came and they came, and the tent was getting fuller and fuller, and I was thinking, we ain't going to have enough food. So, filled up. Over 200. First service of New Life Baptist Church. And I preached, and we gave an invitation. And in the invitation, 26 people came forward. Got saved. And boy, we're excited. And Monday came, and we took down the tent, and we're getting ready because now the church has been initiated, and we've had people get saved already. We're so excited. And we took the tent down and gave it back to the people we rented it from. And I was sitting in my office, and the secretary came to my office, and she said, "Hey, Pastor Ronnie, we have a situation." I said, "Oh, we have a situation? What's the situation?" She said, "Three trucks just pulled into the property, and there's guys with military, and they have rifles and pistols. And they've come into the building, and she said, they're looking for you." I said, "They're looking for me." I said, "Why are they looking for me?" "I don't know, but they're looking for you." I said, "Well, bring them in." So here they come in. Military guys. Some of them had rifles. Some of them had pistols. And I'm thinking, we ain't even got a gun on this place. We don't have enough guns to defend ourselves. I don't know what they're coming here with all these guns about. So they get into the office, and the guy lays a piece of paper down in front of me. And I'm reading the paper, and I'm like, I'm trying to understand. And I looked up at the guy, and I said, "Sir, I said, this says that we have a business here of selling exotic animals." I said, "Have you found any exotic animals yet?" He said, "No, not one." I said, "Well, what are we doing?" He said, "Well, we have the complaint that you're a seller of exotic animals, and we're taking everything and chaining up the door." I said, "Are you through searching for exotic animals?" He said, "Not yet." I said, "Well, I hear my 185-pound Rottweiler back there barking, so you better tell the guys be careful not to stick their hand through there. He'll bite them." That's the only animal on the place was a Rottweiler. So they're getting this stuff. They started putting their hands on our stuff. And they're going to take everything that we bought for this new church away. I said, wait. I picked up the phone, and I made a phone call, and I called the president's office because I happened to know a lady that was a good Christian woman who worked in that office. And I called her, and I said, "You will not believe it. We got these military people here, and they're taking all of our stuff and loading it in trucks, saying they're taking it off, and they say that we sell exotic animals here." She said, "Give me that guy." I gave her the phone. Now, listen, I know Spanish, and I could hear her talking to him, and it was loud, but I cannot tell you what she said to him, but I don't think it was very nice. But anyway, when she got done with him, he asked me to sign the paper. He got all the people, and they all left, and they told us, they said, "You have to leave because we're chaining the door, but we're not taking any of your stuff." Sometimes you can invest a lot doing what God wants you to do, and maybe you might find out it's not going to go exactly as planned. And you have to make a decision in that moment. Do you fold? Do you give up? Do you get so distraught that you can't operate, or do you just keep moving forward? I later talked to them, and they said, "Listen, here's the real problem. The guy across the street from y'all, he's Catholic, devout Catholic, and he said he is never going to have a Baptist or any kind of church that's not Catholic across the street from him." And he was a very wealthy man. And they said, "There's nothing you can do. You might as well move." You know, we invested all that money, $28,000, and now we're sitting here. We got to get out. They put chains on our door. We can't get in. And they'll only come and take chain off so we can load our stuff up out of the location to move. I got in the car, and I got the brother working with me. We drove down the street. We went 4 blocks from there, and we found another house for rent. And we rented that house. The house was bigger than the house we had. The house needed almost no renovation. It was ready to go. It even had an office with a full library. Cabinets for a library were already there. And we walked into that place, and the first thing that me and Joshua Weston did was thank God. Thank God. What was the price of those 26 souls that got saved? It was $28,000. That's a good deal. That's a good deal. You see, the heart of the missionary has to go forward and keep going and cannot be deterred. And Paul, we see that because time and time again, Paul has reason to be deterred. There are just this. I'm almost done. The introduction is the long part of the message. Three quick thoughts. What was in Paul's mind? What was in Paul's heart? First thing, people's lives are to be changed. People's lives are to be changed. When you and I get up every morning, our mission field is where we're at. It may be to othermost parts of the world because we give to missions, but also it's where we're at. And when we get up, and I think when every single morning when Paul would rise, the first thing he would do is ask God to give him people with open hearts. I think he prayed about that sincerely much of his day, begging God for opportunities and people that will be. Look what he writes to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. This will be very quick. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He's writing back to them that now he's in a Roman prison. He's not in the Philippian area anymore. He's done left there. He's not at Philippi. He's in Rome and he's in jail. He says, in everything that I remember of you, I give thanks to God. He says in verse 4, making requests with joy. He says, in every prayer of mine, I make requests for joy, with joy about you. In verse 5, he says, your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul said, from the very beginning when I started the church with y'all, there was a great fellowship, and it's gone on even to this day. He said, it's just part of me. I live for it. I breathe it. It is my life. Look what he says in verse 6. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was telling them, he was saying, listen, all you people that God led you to us and we were able to bring you to that saving knowledge. He said, I have nothing but fond memories of you. And he said, though I'm in prison, I may not never get to get back over there. He said, I know that God will perform the work in you that needs to be done. Second thing I want you to think about that was in the mind of Paul is that he challenged them. Even though he wasn't there anymore, even though he wasn't their pastor at that time, and even though he was in the Roman jail, he continued to work on them. Look there what it says in Philippians 1:27. He challenged them to stand fast and to be fearless unto the end. Look what it says there. He says to them, I may hear of your affairs that ye stand fast in one spirit. He challenged them to continue to stand, no matter what they were facing, to continue to stand. That was the heart of Paul toward those people he had won. In verse 28, he says, and in nothing terrified of your adversaries. In this day and age, we can't be terrified. We can't be concerned. We can't be worried with all these things that's going on. They're not our God. We don't have to worry about all the things that's happening because we have a great God. We don't have to be terrified. He has a solution. He has his reasons. He has a way for us to come out of all of it. He's our God. We're not supposed to be terrified. And look at verse 29. He says, for unto you, It is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, not only to become a Christian, but also to suffer for his sake. Sometimes we as Christians may have the privilege of going through some suffering for the sake of Christ and for the sake of others that need to receive him, because they are watching our lives. They are watching the confidence that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, listen, just as you watched me and just as you saw how I handled things when they threw us in jail, he said, you do the same. You stand strong. Verse in Philippians 4:1, it says the same thing. He said, therefore, my brother, my dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. We got to stand fast. We have to stand fast because people in this area, your Jerusalem, depend on us here at this church, stand fast. And your Judea depends on standing fast and not being in any way hindered by what's happening in the world. We have to stand fast because the Samaria that you help and support depends on you. And the Dominican Republic and India and all the Jewish ministries and China and the missionaries that go there, wherever you have missionaries, they depend on this church to stand and stand fast in times of trouble. Because when you stand fast, it helps us to stand fast. And the last thing that Paul wanted them to know about his heart and his mind was this. It was for the furtherance of the gospel. In Philippians 1:12, it says, Paul says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said, hey guys, yes, I came there at a price, and I did suffer some things, and I did bleed for you, and I did suffer being in jail for you, but I want you to know that it was all for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul's writing this while he's in jail in a Roman prison. He said it was all for the furtherance of the gospel. Listen, our brother from India and his wife will go through what they have to for the furtherance of the gospel. In the Dominican Republic, I'll face and go through what I have to. Why? Because God put something in my mind that is not easily shaken, does not run and hide, that stands ground and is ready to face what has to be faced. Paul says, so that in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. He said, everybody knows about me. He said, I've been whipped. I've been shipwrecked. He said, I've been robbed. I've been beat up by my own brethren. He said, I've had thieves beat me up. He said, I've been stoned. He said, I've been in water waiting night after night for somebody to come and get me. He said, hey, people know about me. But it's for the furtherance of the gospel. He said, not only that, in verse 14, he said, not only do people know about me, but the brethren are preaching with more zeal, more power. It says, but in my bonds, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more. He says, the brethren are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul said his life was a life of serving God. God put something in his mind, and he stayed the course until he died. I believe that most missionaries, I wouldn't say all missionaries, but I believe most missionaries, God put something in their mind, and that they are able to stand whatever they have to stand to accomplish the task that God has put in their hand. And it's a privilege to be in the presence of missionaries. It's a privilege to be in the presence of church people who make that stand. And they say, we are behind you. We're going to push you along. We're going to make sure you get there. And we're going to make sure you stay there. Amen? Most missionaries want to stay. Amen? Thank you, Pastor.